Gentl mit der Flanke in den Strafraum auf Richtung Gieses, hier stoppt den Ball, rückt zum Tor, fällt ab auf Enzo Mio und der trifft zum 1:1 Ausgleich. Enzo Mio. Girassi. Girassi ist jetzt im Strafraum und er schießt und trifft natürlich ins Tor. Dieser Wahnsinnstyp. Ich will mal wissen, was der nimmt. Das wirklich nehme ich auch. Stenzel ist mit dem Ball. Auf Girassi und der Luft den Ball. Ins Tor zum 3:1. Unfassbar.
Welcome to Valve-based Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language Valve-based Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. I'm your host, Travis. Joining me, we've had two losses in a row, David, for the first time under Honus since he's taken over. So we booted Matt off the episode. This time we need some fresh blood, some new blood. You're promising us 3 points, right? This is your third episode, 3 points.
Yeah, this is my third appearance on the pod. Third appearance, 3 points this week, next week, and the week after that, too.
Take that, Matt. You're off. All right. Let's do some quick shout-outs.
You'll actually get to your episode 100.
Right. Yeah, Lord knows. This could be episode 100 for all we know. Our county is so good. It's what we talked about last week. Pod predictions was a rough week for the four of us that are usually on here. Jeff won it with a 4-1-4 record, but Austin's still in the lead, 50 wins to 33 losses. I'm in last place with 38 wins and 45 losses. You know who's not in last place, though? It's a shout-out to the Valpy Frauen. They won their regional Pokal match. They won 5-0 versus FV Bellenberg, and then they beat FC Freiburg 1-5 on the road. They're undefeated. They're just doing great, but some people that aren't doing so great, Dave, kind of bring you in here because this is one of your former loves. Former Stuttgarters, we had Dino had his first goal for West Ham in the Premier League. Unfortunately for him, it was an own goal, which we're used
classic
to.
Dinos.
Yeah. Juan Ferreira played 18 minutes in a Hansa loss. Omer Baez played 33 minutes in a loss. Luca Fiber had his first positive assist for Darmstadt in a loss. And Gildias, old friend Gildias played 90 minutes in a win. So of all of those storylines, which one do you want to talk about? And please tell us why it's your buddy Dino's.
Well, it was classic Dino's. Goes in, gets an own goal. We've seen it 100 times, so not a surprise there. But actually, the one that I want to talk about is one you didn't mention.
Ooh.
Our old friend Omar Marmoush picked up another goal for Frankfurt. And that's his sixth on the season. He's a guy like that right now.
Playing great. Lights out. Yeah, he's doing really well for those guys. He kind of moved around a little bit. Wolfsburg, now he's at Frankfurt, having a lot of success there. Yeah, speaking of success, Village Footy won the OFC Fantasy yet again. Jans and BD's Nuts. I love the fact somebody in the OFC is – team name is BD's Nuts, second and third. Village Footy has opened up an 80-point lead over Jens. They were top two last year, top two again this year. That's the true classicer. Not that other match that took place. The OFC tip spiel, Rob got the win, but he tied with me. So here's what we got. Kai Guy, Stefan, and myself are all in first place with 133 points. Dave, you're struggling, buddy. You're seventh.
I was actually doing pretty well up until 2 weeks ago. These two Stuttgart losses have kind of coincided with a little bit of a tippspiel schneid for me, so I think I've gotten single digit points, like 5 or 6 points the last couple of weeks, whereas I had been, sniffing around third, fourth, fifth. But now I'm back at the pack, but I'm going to make a comeback. Wait and see. Yeah.
It's still close for sure. You're doing better than my fantasy team because they're all Stuttgart players. So the last 2 weeks I've struggled with that too.
Yeah. My fantasy team is not doing so hot. Yeah, I've got the nice little Enzo Mio surprise on Sunday. I had him starting as a star player nonetheless. So
yeah, it sounds like we'll be in the second division of our fantasy teams pretty soon here. OFC watch parties. We had two up in Northeast Ohio. We had the one in Cleveland, and then we had the one in Youngstown that Doug did. We had 12 and 13 people, so 25 total. for these. I want to give a quick shout out to everybody who showed up. Andres, who was great to meet him. He's in Ohio. Captain Armadillo, he drove all the way from Detroit, 2.5 hour drive to come and watch what unfortunately was, you know, a loss, but it was just awesome to see all these people. It was awesome to get so many people together. We're looking forward to doing it again. You'll hear shortly. But speaking of the match, Dave, man of the match. We got the OFC vote for both the Union Berlin Pokal match and this Heidenheim Bundesliga match. Who was your man of the match in both of those? Who would you have chosen?
Well, for the Pokal match, that was a tough one. The defense was great. Undav got the goal. He was the highest rated player on FotMob. So I wound up just going with him just out by default because that was a hard choice. That was actually a harder choice for me than the game on Sunday. That Sunday match, during the game, and this is actually who I voted for, but then I had second thoughts later on after I had actually cast my vote. But during the match, I was all about Valdemar Anton because he was getting back. He was blocking shots. He had some recoveries, some timely clearances. But then, of course, he had the big gaffe at the end that let Heidenheim get the 48-meter goal. So, you know, that kind of hurt his player rating a little bit. But the one who was the strong defender that played the way a defender should, because I didn't notice him quite as much, but he had actually better stats than Anton, was Daxo.
You have got your just hand on the kind of the mindset of the OFC. You nailed it. Undav was for the Pokal match, but Daxo was in second place for the Pokal match. He played fantastic. He was Honus's man of the match, as he mentioned. We'll talk about it later. And then Valdi, Anton, and Daxo were first and second place for the Bundesliga match. You absolutely nailed both of those. No wonder you're on this. You know exactly what's going on. Well done, sir.
Yeah, well, Daxo just had a quietly great game on Sunday. Just didn't even realize until I looked at the stats later, and I was like, wow, he really was everywhere. I think he had 6 blocks to Valdi's 4, 10 clearances. Just, yeah, he had a very solid match, so he's well-deserved in the play of the game. Just wish when he made that venture into the box there towards the end of the game, he could have, put a little bit better effort on that shot. But, hey, he's a striker. He's a defender for a reason. Yeah,
that's what they say about in the NFL. They're cornerbacks for a reason. They don't have hands. Yeah. So that's a great segue. Let's jump into part two, the matches. All right, so we got two matches to cover, and it's a weird week because we played the loss at Hoffenheim, but then at home, I should say. And then we had the match against Union at home, had the win. Then we played on the road only 80 kilometers away against Heidenheim, newly promoted. So we'll start with the Pokal match. Both teams play pretty similar, right? They're both kind of deep line. They both play pretty defensive. They both, try to counter on us. It was interesting. If we talked to the Pokal match, Chris Furich said afterwards, and I thought this was kind of funny. He said, quote, "I was surprised that they played so much football at the beginning," end quote. And I was like, That's not the Union Berlin we're used to. So let's talk about them for a minute, because they are struggling now. After this weekend, they've lost 12 in a row. They had a completely new formation against us. They had 3 or 4 strikers that they were playing. I honestly thought we were going to lose this match because I thought at some point Union is going to break out of that streak. Beating a team twice in the short span of almost a week is really tough to do. And the way they play tends to get under our skin a bit. But it became pretty clear pretty quickly that we were in control of that match. So I don't know, what were your thoughts going into the Pokal match? Were you nervous like I was, or were you feeling pretty confident?
I actually wasn't as nervous about this, but I was much more nervous for the Bundesliga match a week and a half earlier. And now that after we had gotten that monkey off our back with that one, I felt all right going into the Pokal match. I figured it would be a low scoring affair, just like it was. The one goal was enough, and but going into it, I felt pretty good, and it was warranted. So
let me ask you this:
it definitely was a dominant defensive performance, without a doubt.
Matt absolutely despises Union Berlin. So let me ask you, are you, is there a club out there that you just get your skin boiling that you just can't stand?
Yeah, Union is getting that way for me, particularly after they hurt our Seru, you know. So I fully blame them for that. And you know, I already wasn't a big fan, but I liked them less. But if I had to, you know, obviously there's Bayern. Who doesn't hate Bayern? Mm-hmm. But then apart from that, it's got to be Red Bull. I hate the entire Red Bull soccer empire. You know, whether it's New York, Salzburg, regardless of wherever it is, I'm not a fan. So, the boys from Leipzig are not my favorite.
Yeah, it was tough because I took a lot of Schadenfreude out of Bayern's struggles in the Pokal match, which we'll talk about later. And then they absolutely destroyed Dortmund. So you're like, how do you feel? I want to be very careful who I dislike because we end up playing them the next week and I don't want them to be mad at us. So we got to be a little careful of that. As we go into this match, kind of the talking points I want to throw out there. Last week, we talked about the three Ds. I got four Ds for you this time. Okay. We got desperation. We got Dennis. We got Dax. So we got domination. So let me throw these four at you. So it became pretty clear, pretty quick, desperation, that Union was desperate. They were trying to do anything to get something going. Fisher got a red card at the end. He was so frustrated. The next D, Dennis, he was just threatening up front the whole match. He only got that one goal, but Leveling was threatening too. Silas, was threatening too. He was, unfortunately unable to commit. Rick Thomas wrote in and said, at some point Silas has to convert some of those chances, but how many times have we said that? Rick's absolutely right. So we got the desperation, we got Dennis, we got the defense that you mentioned. Valdi and Daxo played amazing. Daxo was just crushing people in that match. And finally, domination. All the stats were in Stuttgart's way, from 60% per possession to 16 shots to the whole thing. The XG was just, everything was going our way. It was only a 1-0 match, but between desperation, Dennis, the defense, domination, which of those stuck out to you the most? Because even though it was a close match, it seemed like it was a blowout in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the domination's got to be I'll do a double D here. The defensive domination.
Because this one, the
defense just played lights out. As we know, Red Bull was trying, or I'm sorry, Union was doing their best. They were trying to attack, but they just weren't getting those last chances. You know, they may have been getting down towards our half some, but no, they were not. They couldn't get into the box. They could not get the shots off. So, I got to hand it to the defense there. The defensive domination led to the rest of the domination in the game. Yeah.
I was really surprised at how toothless they were. They had some guys out there that you're just like, they were clearly trying to be more offensive and it just wasn't happening. And the only real threats they had were from distance. There was nothing in that final quarter of the pitch where they really were scary at all, which is really weird because they, by all measures, are the much better team than who we were going to play on Sunday. And Heidenheim was threatening almost the entire match. I think the crossbar was one of our players of the week because that crossbar did a lot of work on Sunday. It was just bizarre to watch Union struggle like this. I don't hate Union like a lot of people do. I save my, dislike for, the Augsburgs of the world, Bayern, like you said, Leipzig and Hoffenheim, stuff like that. But they're in a really strange place right now. And we made them look like they were the newly promoted team. Not the other way around. So it was a pretty dominating performance for just a 1-0 win. And it was funny because the last week, Matt and I were talking and I was like, I don't care about this. I want to focus on the season. I don't really care about the Pokal. And then as soon as we won it, I was the first one saying, this is the greatest thing ever. This is the most important thing ever. So some of the important things here too is by advancing, the club got about €500,000, as you advance through the Pokal, so you got some more money. The other thing that's pretty wild is there's 16 teams left, but there's only 6 Bundesliga clubs left. Now, Leipzig fell, Bayern, like we mentioned, fell. Unfortunately, we drew Dortmund in the next round. But you know what? The other 10 are either second or third division teams. let me get your quick thoughts on this. I mean, it's hard to explain the Pokal to American viewers because Americans, our tournament is usually at the end of the season as opposed to during the season. You know, so it's hard for, at our watch party, people were talking about how Cincinnati had won the MLS Shield, which is their version of the Pokal. And it was really difficult to try to explain, wait a minute, they're still in the season. How's this going? What's happening? All that stuff. So what are your thoughts on the Pokal? How much love do you have for the Pokal? And if you want to throw some shade at Bayern, please feel free. This is your moment.
Oh, I love the Pokal. In the U.S., I hear what they're saying about the Supporters Shield with Cincinnati, but there's another tournament in the U.S., the Open Cup, which is older than the NFL. It's been around since before the NFL, and it's the oldest sports tournament in America. And I love the Open Cup too, just because you get these little club teams from small towns, and just random places that come in and they're playing against an MLS side, and sometimes they win, and it's great. So I love that aspect of that, and it's the same thing with the Pokal. I think it's great the fact that there are 6 Bundesliga teams left out of 16, and I hate that we wound up drawing Dortmund in this one, but when they're usually one of the perennials that won the Final Four like us last year. But that match against Dortmund, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that match against Dortmund in the Pokal, I feel better about it than I do about the one this weekend.
At least we didn't get Saarbrücken, right? I mean, at least we don't have to go against the giant killers there. Well, that's one of the things that Tim said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He said, listen, we start slow against Union, but on to the next round. We got Dortmund at home. Hopefully Seyru will be back. It sounds like he will be. Balham sent in, he's like, thoughts on the cup draw to Dortmund? Do you see Stuttgart as the outsiders, if we can get past Dortmund? I like the question, but I still think as long as Bayer Leverkusen aren't in this thing, they're going to be probably the favorites. If we get past Dortmund, hey, we're in the final eight. Who knows who we're going to face? What do you think? You okay going against Dortmund? And who do you think is the favorite of the 16 teams that are left?
Yeah, I would much rather be going against a, Zweite or Dritte League team. But, here we are going up against one of the perennial German powers. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same Dortmund. Even though they are still, right below us in the standings, they just don't seem like the same powerhouse that they typically are, so at least so far this season. So as much as I would rather be playing a lower level team, I don't feel completely scared. Now I'll probably will eat those words on December 5th, but we'll see how that goes. But I feel okay about that matchup. We should have Seyru back by then. Hopefully some of the other folks that have been out will be back, and I think we should be in better shape at that point. And as far as the other teams going in, you gotta like Leverkusen. So I'm glad we didn't draw them in this part, but yeah, they've got to be the favorites right now, just with the way they're playing in the Bundesliga and they're handling this. So.
Yeah, we got the lucky draw last year. We didn't play a Bundesliga club until the Final Four. So I think, we're due.
Yeah.
We are supposed to play some other teams here. So, but the thing that was great about, and I agree with what Matt said last week, he kind of swayed me on this, is that we were able to prove that we could win without Seyru. And so that was huge. And even though it was a 1-0 win, Undav got the monkey off his back. He got to get the goal that was the winning goal in that one. And it looked like everything was trending really in the right direction moving towards Sunday. And if we would have won that match at Heidenheim, that would have been 4 away wins in a row, which would have broken a record that had stood since 1980, I guess. Heidenheim's a really interesting story. Baham asked us if we knew how they were formed. They have a long history, like most German clubs do, of different clubs in a city coming together. I mean, Heidenheim is tiny, right? It's one of the smallest clubs in the Bundesliga. I think their joke is that the entire village can fit within Dortmund Stadium, maybe even Stuttgart Stadium arena. Basically what happened is they, from 2008 up until now, they've been on this trajectory of success from a regional club all the way up to getting promoted at the end of last season, really in 2 stoppage time goals. It was a dramatic end of the season for them. And if not for those two stoppage time goals, we would have played them in the playoffs. And based on what I saw Sunday, thank goodness they scored those two stoppage time goals. Yeah. They're a tough out for us. And it's weird because Rick sent this in too. He's like, they've always been our bogey team a little bit when we were down in the second division. And I looked it up and he was right. I mean, we've lost matches to them. They play a particular style. They play in a much smaller, more compact stadium and field that uh-huh. doesn't allow our players to get the space that I think we need to operate. So I was nervous going into this one. I thought we were going to get the win, but I thought it was going to be a 1-0 result. I thought Daxo would get some kind of corner kick header. I thought it would be some kind of gritty game. And I was half right to where it was a gritty game, but I was completely wrong in that it was 2-0 for the other side. So what were your thoughts going into this one? You said earlier you were a little bit nervous about it. Why were you nervous about it?
I wasn't so much nervous about this one. It was the and this one I kind of figured pretty much what you had said would happen. I didn't think it would be a 1-0. I actually predicted a 3-0 win for us, but I figured it was going to be a close game and then we'd pull away late, you know, maybe get a couple of goals there in the last 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But did not see it going down like it did. Did not see whatever was going on with the Heidenheim goal. I don't know if they had eingespinst in Tour. That's what it seemed like. The way we just could not get anything to go into the goal. The Silas just dribbling without noticing the defender coming. The Raymond with his debut almost getting the equalizer and somehow skying it into the crossbar. I don't even
under the crossbar too.
Yeah. And it just didn't bounce our way. Mm-hmm. So it was just like there was something in there. And even on the broadcast, the color commentator said they're not gonna score. Yeah. that's it. If they couldn't get that, it's not meant to be. And I have to agree with them. It just was not. Nothing was going our way that night. It was just not. It was hard to even get mad about that match because mm-hmm. it was just almost comical how unlucky we were in that match.
Yeah, I think they actually asked Alex Neubel afterwards that, to your point, it's like you could have played for another hour or 2 hours. It just seemed like the ball wasn't going to go into the net for you guys. And it's like, yeah. And Volgamut said, you know, this is the worst match we played. And Honus said mm-hmm. the same thing. It's the worst match we played all season. But he wasn't upset, to your point, because they tried to do everything they could. It just wasn't happening on that particular day. And to be quite honest, that was a deserved loss. Even if we would have scored – okay, if we score the penalty kick, okay, and maybe everything shifts. Maybe everything changes, but we didn't. They hit the crossbar, I think, more than we did. They looked more dangerous on set pieces than we did.
Yeah.
It was Daxo said going into this match, he was really looking forward to playing there because everything is so compact and the fans are really on top of you. I don't think we handled it well, to be quite honest. I don't think we did. And we've got 21 points at this point, so it's not doom and gloom. I think there was an article from one of the publications about, you know, is it a crisis moment because Honus has lost 2 in a row? It's the first match under him that we haven't scored a goal. And it's like, that's a bit of hyperbole. We're in third place. It's not a crisis moment. It is concerning because we had mentioned earlier how many points will the team score while Seiru is out. You know, and it was, I think we thought he was going to be out about four matches. So it was going to be 0, you know, 3, 6, you know, 9 or 12. Right now it's 0, right? We're over 2. So the biggest issue I have is just I kind of wanted to get that idea that this is Team Seiru out of the conversation. I wanted to change that narrative, and we weren't able to do that. And instead, one of the narratives here is poor Silas. So I want to talk about him for a minute. He had that 7-minute chance, which you alluded to. I'm going to disagree a little bit. I thought the defender came in. You're right, though. He didn't see the defender come in. It just seemed like he was dribbling instead of taking the moment to shoot.
Yeah.
But then he – you know, still had a chance at the 38th minute. Then that penalty kick. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, no.
This is one of the questions that Tim asked is, were you surprised that it was Silas taking that kick and not Dennis? Because I certainly was.
Yeah, I was completely surprised by that. I figured it would be Undov. I felt like the miss first the previous week was not really on him so much. It was just a great play by Bauman, who has a reputation for for stopping PKs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I figured he would be the guy lining up for it. And I was a little surprised to see loss, but I was like, okay, well, this is good. This will give him a chance to, you know, get some of that confidence back. Maybe
that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, some of the swagger back, some of the mojo. No, geez, that could not have gone worse for him. And that has to just be a complete, his mind has just got to be in a bad place now. So I don't know if we've got a psychologist on staff, but I'm hoping Silas is spending some time with them this week.
It's funny because he has been such an enigma for this club since he showed up, where he had that great start, then had the knee injury, then took a long time to get back from the knee injury. It seemed like this year was finally getting back into a groove, but he still has those lapses of inconsistency. And I think somebody said it on Reddit, and I agree. It's like, at some point, this is who you are. And I think we all love Silas, and I think we all love what he brings to the table. But I think he's a much better version of Tanguy Koulibaly, who was a frustrating player. Silas has much better skills and is a Bundesliga quality starter. I don't want to say, you know, poor Koulibaly is a free agent still at this point.
Yeah.
But I just think his inconsistency is his consistency at this point. He's not a classic goal scorer. And it's unfortunate because he gets a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
You just don't see it. So I'm bummed about that. I was bummed for him. The other thing that was really kind of bumming was the Heidenheim set pieces were dangerous.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt like this since Alex Neubel has been with the club. And I don't think it was his fault necessarily, but
no. They
were just peppering us with set pieces, with corners. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of them went off the bar. If not for Valdi Anton, I mean, he even broke up a three on one play.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that he had that flub at the very end.
And the yellow card too.
Yeah, I know. And then Daxo played really well. Alex, so finally Heidenheim was able to crack the seal open in the 70th minute on what was, I thought, kind of an ugly corner kick, but as Daniel said when we were watching, is like, if you let that many corners happen, it's eventually going to go in. So to me, that was almost more disappointing than Silas, because I'm kind of getting used to that at this point. We had been for a while, and it just seemed like on that day it wasn't happening.
Yeah, and that's what I said on the Discord. It was corner kick after corner, and every single one they were getting a shot. If not on goal, it was hitting the crossbar, you know? So I said, sooner or later, one of these is going to go in. And lo and behold, that's the first one of the second half. I think that might've been the only one of the second half, it seems like, for them. I don't know. They didn't have as many in the second half, but lo and behold, they did finally get one in. And it was just one of those things where there's got to be better. And the thing about this match is, I'll go back and talk about what I'm familiar with. It reminded me a lot of an MLS match. Okay. Just from the size of the stadium, a smaller stadium, smaller field, which, you know, in MLS, the fields are all over the place. And it's really hard to win on the road in MLS because there's so much variance. And, you know, and that was one of the things that happened with this one, you know, we should be able to overcome that, especially, you know, when we're the better side, we should be able to overcome that. But sometimes it's just, everything is against you.
Yeah. It was the first match since Honus has been here that, I think the thing that's been really nice since he's been here is we've been able to play multiple styles. We've been able to play open play. We've been able to play bunker ball. We've been able to play against gritty teams. We've been able to play against more tactical teams. And this is the first time where we kind of took a step back. And I think that's why everybody was so frustrated, because you had a really great opportunity to have that bounce back match, 24 points. It's a team. It's not Seiru. And going into the next month of November, that's when our schedule really gets heavy, right?
Yeah.
You got Dortmund, you got Bayern, we've got Bayer coming up. So it's unfortunate, because we would have been at 24 points instead of 21. But I think the final thoughts here in the reality is, as Daniel said, he's like, hey, we're halfway to 40. We're already halfway to 40. And I think that's a great counterpoint, because as excited as we all were to finish in the top four or the top six, the reality is most of us probably predicted this team to be somewhere around 12 to 14, you know, in that range. And we are doing so much better than what any of us expected. And so I think the reality, if we take a step back, and you mentioned earlier, Bayern destroyed Dortmund. Leverkusen held on versus Hoffenheim. Mainz surprised Leipzig. So we are going to stay in third place for another week, despite two losses in a row.
Yeah.
Despite two losses to neighborhood rivals, if not derbies. The bottom of the table is all bunched up. We don't really need to worry about that, knock on wood, you know, right now. You know what? Final thoughts as we head into the Dortmund match this week. We had two losses and a win. What are you thinking? Where are we at?
I'm thinking we can still turn things around. I'm not completely convinced it's going to be this weekend. I want it to be. I really, really want it to be, but we've got to see what we have on the field. Now, it is encouraging to me that Seiru has been back in training. So it could be we see him come on in, you know, the last 30 minutes or so. We'll see. Hopefully, and this is the other thing that I don't think people are paying enough attention to with the Heidenheim match. We're missing Mio, and we're missing Stenzel even. You know, he's been, say what you will about his defense, he has been effective on offense. So could have used him on Sunday. So hopefully we'll get some of these guys back. I don't know what's going on with Mio, but hopefully whatever it is, you know, everybody's okay and he's able to get back soon and get back into the lineup.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because one of the things I think you could take away from this match, and it is an excuse, but it's also a reality, is that Seiru was out, which we all knew. Enzo was a last-minute scratch because of a family issue that we don't know what it is, so hopefully everything's okay there. And Pascal Stenzel, who everybody likes to make fun of, and I get it, is actually one of the best offensive right backs in the league. So you just took out three of your key offensive players, and two of them were last-minute scratches that we didn't really know about. So I think that when you put everything in context, when I saw the bench, and it's awesome that that kid, Raymond, was able to get in. I don't know if he's on the bench if those other two guys are suited up, right? So it was a bit of a skeleton crew, you know, going into this Heidenheim match. And credit to Heidenheim, they just outplayed us. They just they simply did. So Ballheim asked this question. I think it's a really good one. After you watch them in person, do you think Heidenheim's got what it takes to stay up in the league this year? Are they going to be one of the 15, 16 that stays up, or do you think they've got a long road ahead of them?
From what I've seen so far, I'd be surprised if they do drop back down after this year. They seem like they've got a good enough core group there, and they can. I mean, they've already gotten some points. And, you know, then the top half of the table, but they're not at the very bottom either. So, you know, they're in what are they in, Sven's first place right now? Are they 13? if they are, I would be surprised if they drop back down.
Yeah. There's some clubs that are struggling right now. Cologne is struggling. Yeah. Union Berlin, like we mentioned, is struggling. Darmstadt, Bochum, and Heidenheim. I mean, I'm sure they'll be in there, but based on what I've seen with their home support, they seem to win at home, and the way they play, you know, you can always, you know, get points that way. So I wouldn't be surprised if they stick it up, and we'll see one of the traditional usual big clubs, you know, go down this year. So that's kind of what I think, but that's a great segue as Balham's asking that question, as we move into news headlines and questions in part three. What do you think, Dan, you want to head over and answer some questions?
Sounds good. Let's go.
All right. All right. So we're going to start with some news and headlines here. We got some news around the league and some that are specific to us. Okay, so what we got is Bo Svensson was the first manager who has been let go or resigned from Mainz. So he's gone. Baumgart's in the hot seat in Cologne. Fischer, like we said, is in the hot seat in Union. So it's nice that we're not the ones that are making news in the coaching carousel right now, because that's usually our job. You mentioned it. One of the other pieces of news is Seiru is working on the pitch this week, and he may be possible for Dortmund. So that would be great. He's a goal behind Harry Kane now in the goal race. Harry Kane got a hat trick this last in the Der Klassikers. They tried to broadcast it. Porsche and Stuttgart are almost officially partners now. So the 40-plus million euro investment that the company is going to make to take about 10% ownership of the club has been approved by the German, I love this, cartel office, which just sounds so evil. So that's been... Yeah. That's been approved there. So those are all some big news that are going around. Of those three, anything kind of stand out to you? Anything you want to comment?
Yeah, I like the Porsche news. I was a little jealous playing hide and hide when they're wearing our arena sponsor name on their jersey.
That's you right. Know?
So yeah, I was a little jealous of that. When ready to do away with the Vice. Site that we have on our kids. So yeah, that was that's great. We obviously need the money. I think we're getting a little bit better. We're as far as financially as we were at this time a year ago. But still have a ways to go. So keep it coming in.
Yeah, it's be exciting to see what they can do with that money to invest in the now or invest in the future. But as long as the cartel office says it's okay, well, yeah. who am I to argue with that? You mentioned some other news here. Winamax, you know, who is our current kit sponsor, at least for the next 3 years, they got in a little bit of trouble from the fandom for mocking a couple teams on Twitter. They've only got 120 followers, which is kind of bizarre, their German account, but they made fun of Cologne and they made fun of Union Berlin struggles. So a lot of people weren't too happy with that. The other news that's a little, you know, you could think it's good or it's bad, is we got Dortmund in the Pokal draw, like we mentioned before. Some other news that's a little not great. It was our first goalless game since Sebastian Hoeneß has been in charge. What else is up? We got the schedule. We got Dortmund, then the break. We got Frankfurt, Bremen, Dortmund, Bayern. It's going to be a tough one, to the point where Kicker asks, quote, is the club falling into old patterns, end quote. So giving you some kind of bad news there. Any of that kind of stick out to you?
I think this could be an excellent opportunity for us to prove Kicker wrong. Let's not fall into those old patterns. Already we are bucking the old patterns. Two losses in a row does not make a collapse make. Mm. You know, we're still in third place. We're fortunate, I should say, that the other two teams behind us also lost. So we were able to keep that ground we have there. We're playing one of them this weekend. You know, I've already said I'm not super optimistic about it, but you never know. I mean, it's a 6-pointer. We could be picking up three, keeping them at arm's length a little bit. So if we win there, we'll also be keeping Red Bull at arm's length. So
One of the write-ups was about how this was an eye-level match between us and Dortmund. And when was the last time that has taken place? So
2007?
Yeah, it's been a little bit. The Winamax thing to me is always interesting, because I don't think there's a single person who is thumbs up okay with Winamax being the kit sponsor, but it's 3 years for $8 million. That's more than a lot of clubs are getting for their sponsor. Matt and I have joked that, like, the more you win, the more Winamax doesn't look so bad on those kits. And then they go along and do some silly things like that. So to me, it's the off the pitch stuff that's kind of odd. I don't worry too much about the goalless streak. You hopefully it's not a streak starting up, but we had our chances.
Please don't call it a streak.
I know. I need to bite my tongue there. The upcoming schedule does look a little tough. I mean, it's always nice to go into the international break with a win. So that'd be really nice if we could do that against Dortmund, which we'll talk about later. Then you got a Bremen team that's kind of struggling. So you're hoping to get some points there. So we'll see what happens, you know, as that goes on, which is what one of the questions is from one of our OFC members is, quote, do you think it's Seiru or the fact we're missing a few starters that has us not playing so well this past week? I don't think our depth is good enough to be missing this many players. End quote. Well, as you mentioned, no Stenzel, no Enzo, no Seiru in the last one. I mean, but let's get to the key question that everybody keeps thinking about. You know, no Seiru, no scoring, right? I mean, he's back soon, but if he's gone for a length of time, do you see this as a problem that needs to be addressed, or Dennis, Chris, Silas, can they figure it out?
I think we can figure it out once we get everybody back. That's a big if, but you know, once we have everybody back, I think we will. I think we'll be okay. You mentioned Mio. You mentioned Stenzel, but we should also be seeing Josh Vagnerman before too long too. And if he returns to the form that he was in at the end of last season, then you know that's fantastic news. So yeah, I think the cavalry could be coming. Even in the two other games without Seiru, we scored two goals in each of those without him. This one, we had our chances to score, just could not knock it home. So it's not like the opportunities weren't there. It just was not our night to get it into the back of the net.
Yeah.
So I'm not so much worried about that. We can score and we will continue to score. Just we need to get that back. We don't need the team getting that into their head that they can't score without Seiru, because they can.
Yeah, I like your thought about Josh Vagnerman coming back, because I think there has been some question mark with us playing four center backs at the back with Rouleau and really Ito, who does have flexibility, that maybe that has limited our flexibility a little bit. So if we get Josh back to play on that side, that definitely gives us some more offensive play. He's a big dude, and when he was playing last year, he was looking really good. This gets to the scoring question. Tim and Flabby both asked the question about, they were surprised that Silas took the penalty kick and why didn't Undav? And then Flabby asks, who would you put forward to take the penalty kicks if not Seiru? If Seiru is out for a few games. I mean, I'll start with this one. I think Dennis is the striker. That's the guy you got to put out there.
Yeah.
I would probably trust him more than Chris. Had one penalty kick last year, I remember, against Bayern that went in, but it was just barely went in against Bayern, I think it was. I just don't trust Silas right now. So I'd probably go Undav. What about you?
Yeah, I've got to stick with the striker. Got to stick with Undav. If not him, yeah, maybe Furyk. I would like to think Silas could do it, but I'm not ready to give him that chance again for a while, because that was some Ted Lasso level stuff right there with the Danny and Ted Lasso when he could not hit after he killed the dog. So
yeah, at least
I hope I didn't spoil it for anybody. Sorry.
Yeah, at least the Greyhound didn't get it at 9-9 yeah. After that kick there. Kai asked a question. Valve B without Enzo is not the best Valve B. This defeat isn't the end of the world, but a draw would have done some wonders. But the next two games against Dortmund and Frankfurt will show whether we can continue to dream of Europe or not. End quote there. So Matt and I have talked about this. Matt would be very happy with eighth place. I was talking to Daniel this weekend, and he would be happy with eighth place. I initially was very excited about getting in one of those top seven spots. I thought that'd be pretty cool. After watching Union Berlin struggles and knowing what happened to a couple clubs like Cologne a few years back when they made it to Europa, I might be getting swayed to say, you know what, eighth might be better than fifth. So can you talk me off of that? Would you rather finish in the top seven, or do you think it's about stability?
I don't know. That's a really tough question. That's a really tough question. But I would say I'm still kind of would like to see how we did. I'd like to get the money, but at the same time, I don't want to see us suffer, the other way. I think what we would need to kind of do, it'd be great to get into that, but I would still think we would need to prioritize Bundesliga competition over European competition if we do wind up.
I would still be,
and I'd be okay with eight, but I would be excited if we did make it into Europe.
I would still be excited, but I think if you look at the clubs that make it and then struggle, I think there's something inherently wrong with the club in terms of its makeup. One of the big knocks on Union Berlin now is they've kind of lost what it is that made them Union Berlin. They brought in some players that don't really fit their DNA. I know when Cologne was bounced out after they made Europa League, they had lost, I think, Anthony Modeste, one of their best players. And so they had struggled to replace him. So I think if, as long as you keep your identity, Freiburg has been playing Europa and Conference League and they've been fine, you know, but they have an identity. They have a coach, they have a system, and they stick to it. So I think if you're stable enough, which isn't always something that we're very good at, I think, you know, I think you can make it work. And this gets into the question that Joe Abludi has asked, you know, quote, a large part of our team is made up of players on loan or low release clauses. How do you see our squad looking in the short term this season and the future, end quote. So clearly that's Alex Neubel is on a one-year deal. And then Seiru is most likely, if we can keep him through the entire season, awesome. There's not a person who thinks that he's going to stick around, you know, after this summer. Or there's very few. Dennis Undav is on loan, but I think he has a purchase option there. I mean, I love what Joe is asking, and this gets into the question of, do you actually want to make it to Europe? Because the key components of your team may not even be on the team the next year, and that's when clubs start to struggle. I almost want to delay this question. I just want to enjoy this season. We've had so much turmoil since we've been supporters. I kind of don't even want to think about that far ahead. I just want to enjoy the here and the now. And I don't want to worry about these guys departing here. I think we're pretty set and solid for a steady run this season if Seiru stays healthy. And I don't think that's a hot take of any kind. Going forward into the future, I bet we're going to purchase Dennis Undav, and hopefully he can blossom, you know, into a player, and hopefully some of these kids can start to blossom as well. So for the present day, I'm just going to enjoy the ride, and I'm going to let the people who are making all the money make the big decisions about what next year is going to look like. But listen, if Dennis Simon is the next goalkeeper, we need to put him in there next year. If Milosevic is going to be the next striker, we need to give him a shot and see, you know, what's going to happen. So I'm just going to enjoy the here and now. I think we're good for the here and now. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to be in the moment and not worry about all the people that will no longer be around this time of year from now. As much as I think we need to enjoy the moment. We're in a place we haven't been in a long time. We are going to see different people come in, but that's the nature of the game. People are coming and going all the time. Some of them were more easily replaced than others. Like Seiru won't be easily replaced, but like you said, maybe we can see Undav blossom into the more complete striker like Seiru is, rather than, you know, he's very opportunistic right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just, he's just not the same mold of player as Seiru. Let's enjoy what we have right now. Hopefully we can buy out Seiru's clause in the winter window and not have to worry about what we're going to do in the second half of the season. Let's be in the moment, enjoy it, and we'll worry about the other when we get to it.
It is amazing what being stable in two positions can do for the entire club. I mean, being stable at the goalkeeper position, we haven't had this type of play since Gregor Kobel was here, and things were pretty good when he was here. And then having somebody up front who you know can do the job. And, I mean, who would have thought that Seiru would eclipse a player that we all pretty much fell in love with and Sasha Kalajic, right? So now that we've got those two stable positions, everything seems to be moving, you know, in the right direction here. So, yeah, I understand the concerns about next year. Maybe this does go into why maybe eighth or ninth is better than – fifth or sixth, but you know what? I'm not going to, you know, begrudge that. We finish in fourth or fifth place, I'll be wearing that t-shirt all over town. Everybody else will. So why don't we start talking about what match is coming up as we head back home? So we're going to MHP Arena. It's hard to get that off my it's hard to say that, right? I'm so used to Mercedes. So we're heading back home. Let's just leave it at that. Josh and Jens are going to have their watch party down in Central Texas. So super excited to see how that goes down there in Verst Fest, which is an awesome sounding.
I'd go.
So I hope everything goes there, and hopefully they bring more luck than we did up in Cleveland and Youngstown this week against Heidenheim. So we're playing against a direct rival on the table, which I love to say. So this is Volgman said everyone should act closer to their own performance limits again, end quote. So I think they're excited. I think they're ready to go. We've been playing really well at home outside that Hoffenheim match. And we still played pretty well, even though it was a loss. So we've got 106 matches against Dortmund, 40 wins to 41 losses. So that's not too bad, kind of wild. Oh. Now, they just got blown out by Bayern in their Klassiker, whatever that is. It's Bundesliga's sad attempt to try to, I guess, package a pretend game to American audiences. But they have been playing pretty well aside from that. They've got 6 wins in their last 10, and 3 of those losses they have are to teams either in the Champions League or Bayern, who is, you know, going to the Champions League.
Yeah.
So this is kind of an odd question, but Balham asked, do you think Dortmund have done enough when they had Pulisic to get many Dortmund fans in the United States? And do Bayern have a lot of fans because of their Canadian left back? This kind of gets into Dortmund and Bayern are two of the biggest clubs in the United States. I don't think it really has anything to do with Pulisic.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with the Canadian guy. I just think Bayern was awesome at marketing, and they got into the American market before anybody else did, and they just are much better at it than anybody else is. And then Dortmund had that really nice run when TV started to show Bundesliga matches in the United States. So you've got some Dortmund supporters here, but I would argue it's Bayern clearly number one. And then after that, I would probably say it's like Cologne.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that's number two.
Yeah. If you look at the map that somebody put out there where everybody could mark their team on the US map, it's Cologne is amazing how many fans are out there. Which is great for them. But yeah, I don't see really, I mean, Pulisic will, he'll pull in some American fans just because you got fans of the U.S. men's national team only fans who are, I just made that sound dirty.
The Triple D broadcast.
Yeah, there you go. You've got those guys who are going to be who are going to be interested in Dortmund and maybe become fans just because Pulisic is there, but they may not remain fans after he goes. So yeah, I don't think that it has that big of an effect. I would love to see Bundesliga reach the level of the Premier League here. Don't see it happening anytime soon, but I would love to see it.
Yeah, I don't think it has. This question was asked to us a while back when Pellegrino was the coach of Stuttgart, and if it had any run over in the United States, and my answer was no, not really. I mean, I just don't think people care. I think the biggest issue is television. Is you're just not easy to watch Bundesliga matches in the United States, and then the ones that they do broadcast on regular television. I know the Dortmund Bayern match can be a good match, but it's a clunker most of the time. And it's usually decided by one particular team, Bayern. And I think you can only try to sell that so many times to an American market. But America, we want to see somebody challenge for something. I think that's probably one of the big problems Bundesliga has, is you've got one team that's won it for 10 or 11 years. And then whenever you do try to put together this Klassiker, as they call it, it's always a one-sided affair. So I think it's more to do with television than maybe anything else. And like you said, it's just, look at the fact that Cologne is probably the second most popular Bundesliga club in the United States, and they're nowhere near the top of the table. In fact, they're setting up the table, but we're playing a team that is towards the top of the table traditionally in Dortmund. Now, the last time we played them, we had that famous 3-goal comeback where we had Koulibaly, we had Wijnaldum, we had Silas at the very end. Prior to that, we had a 5-0 loss when Wimmer was still here. But the last time we played these guys, we played a role in them not winning the title. We stole 2 points from them. When I say Dortmund to you, what goes through your head? And then what are you thinking the match is going to look like this weekend?
Well, Dortmund is one of those ones that first thing I think of with them is just that atmosphere, their stadium, their fans, because they do have a really great atmosphere, and I love watching videos of their fans. But right now, they don't seem quite as at the same level that they have been. I think they're still kind of it's one of those things, you can say that, but they're still still up in the fourth spot in the league. But you would usually expect them to be a lot closer to Bayern at this point, or at the top of the table where Leverkusen is. So yeah, they're one of those ones you picture them as one of the traditionally dominant German clubs. And as far as how we will be against them this weekend, who knows, you know. I think we're bound to play better than we did on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping we see a good bounce back from Stuttgart, but will that be enough? You know, it just all depends. We don't know what's going to show up for them. They don't seem to be quite as potent in attack as they have been at times. Yeah, we'll see. It could go either way.
Yeah, they definitely are playing much more defensive than they have been, which is odd because I think their defense is their weakest thing. They're slow at the back, but they're not scoring as much as they have. And I think their manager just said, is like, listen, we have to try a different tactic because we've tried the same thing for years and it hasn't worked. So we kind of are taking things back a little bit. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. I think Dortmund, to use an American comparison, their uniform scares people. It's like the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's what I think about. The terrible towels.
Yeah, or even like the New England Patriots, even though they're not what they once were, it's just there's a certain aura about them. And when you see the yellow and black come at you, you're like, oh God, here we go. It's almost like Jurgen Klopp is still there coaching. You're just like, oh geez. So they're not the same team that I think a lot of us are used to. So I think they're kind of getting by on reputation, but it's a great reputation. Like I said, they're always in the top four, so they definitely belong up there. I'm with you. You don't know what is going to happen. I think we'll play a lot better because I think they play to a particular style that fits the way we want to play. We're playing at home, which we've been pretty much lights out at home. They seem to be kind of slow at the back, and I think that can really help when it comes to Chris Furich and that comes to Szilas on those wings with the speed. I think one of the interesting things is going to be is Seyru back. And I don't think that's a surprise. I would almost hold him out another week. I saw some of the videos of him practicing. He looked like he's ready to go. But man, if you can get through this match, then you've got the international break. Then he's raring and ready to go for I think it's Frankfurt after the international break. So I think you're right. If we see him, it might be for like a 30-minute spell, you know, at the end. But man, I'm going to be just clenching my teeth the whole time, hoping that hamstring is fine as it goes. So I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I do think we'll see a bit of a bounce back. I think we're in this weird place, though, where we are coming back to earth a little bit from our early season bounce. So what do you think the Vegas bookmakers have this one at? Who is the favorite in this match, the home team or the traditional powerhouse?
Going to say that Vegas is going with the traditional powerhouse. I'm going to say Dortmund by a half a goal.
It's close. It's actually a pick 'em. It's a dead pick 'em. But I think you're kind of right? The home team usually gets half a goal no matter what, but they're not giving us half a goal. And if you look at the money line, which is way too complicated for us to talk about, Dortmund does have a slight advantage. So the bookies are giving Dortmund a slight advantage in this one. So if you were going to bet, Dave, what kind of money are you putting down on this one? And what do you think the final score is going to be?
Let's see. I'm not putting down much money. I'm not a gambler. I am going to say final score. You know what? I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to give it a draw. 1-1.
Ooh, I like that. I am going to, unfortunately, be a little pessimistic. I think it's going to be like a 2-3 type of game. I think it'll be really interesting to see if Josh is back, because that could open up the offense a little bit. It'll be really interesting if Enzo's back, because just things bogged down without him in the middle there. And then obviously the one that everybody's interested to see is Seyru, if he's back there. But I think it'll be like a 2-1, 3-2 match. I think we're going through a little bit of a dark spell. It's no time to panic. We've got 21 points. The schedule's going to beef up a little bit. But if I see Seyru out there, I'm going to immediately think, nope, 3-2 the other way for the good guys. Because he just has that aura about him, as we mentioned.
Yeah. If Seyru comes into a close game, whether we're down a goal or it's tied up, just the emotion in the stadium might be enough to lift everybody, because that place will just be bonkers if Sabre comes out as a sub.
Yeah, so that hopefully I'm wrong on this, and based on my predictions this year, I usually am. So if you're listening, that should be a, that should be a pretty good thing for everybody here. So listen, it's been three matches in the week. Two of them were regional matches. We lost two Baden-Württemberg rivalries or derbies, depending on how you want to look at them. So hopefully we get the bounce back at home before the international break. You know, any final thoughts on that match, the week that was, the week that will be?
I say what's past is past. Let's move on. I hate to quit. I hate to keep referencing Ted Lasso here, but let's be goldfish here and just move on. Forget about it. And we'll move on to the next, and hopefully we'll see something better.
I like that. Goldfish it is, which is actually a great way to end this, because I'm sure anybody who listened is trying to forget what they just listened to. So, Dave, thanks so much. Your third episode. Any last thoughts before we kick you off and kick you to the curb?
Yeah, I just want to, well, first let me give a shout out to the guys at the in the Discord. I don't know if you've been, how much you've been around lately, but Bloody Haas went in and revamped, gave us a little bit of a makeover. So we're a little bit more, we've got some racing stripes now, whereas before we were just the Matt Payton finish. But yeah, so yeah, shout out to those guys. And also just kudos to all the guys forming these local OFCs, because I'm jealous. I would love to get something like that here. I don't know of any other Stuttgart fans around me, but they're bound to be. But I'd even love to, I've even got a name. I'd love to expand it, get, you know, some other Southerners in here. So, you know, guys from Georgia, Carolinas, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, even Arkansas, Louisiana, you know, wherever. So we could be OFC, their Vilda Sutton, you know.
Ooh, I like it. Well done. I'll look it up and see what it means, but I like it. It sounds good.
Well, it's from Stuttgart Cup. That's one of the lines, who makes the Wild South hot.
You've got it. Yeah. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so if I can get the Southern guys to join me, if you guys are listening, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Discord, and we'll see what we can make happen. Might be hard to do a watch party when we're spread out over five states, but yeah, we'll see.
Right. With anything is possible, man. We can do it. I love it. All right, Dan, thanks so much, man, for popping on this episode. Hopefully you bring us some good luck. You promised us 3 points. So, you know, hopefully next week we're talking about a big.
I promised 3 points and I predicted the draw.
I know. Well, unprepared, unprofessional. You hit the bill. Right? Yeah. Nice job, buddy. All right. Thanks a lot, man. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me.